Hello again, I'm Reverend Crystal Muldrow, and today we're going to continue on our series about the divinity within all of humanity and within this world. And it's about your divine life. I love the Michelangelo quote that says, "The greatest danger for most of us is not that we aim too high and miss it. It is that we aim too low and reach it." I think that's the human condition. Somehow we've been trained to aim low with 100% satisfaction that we've achieved that goal. But what kind of goal is it if we're reaching too low? I think as humanity, we often reach too low instead of reaching for the stars, but we think that the stars are futile. We think that the thoughts of aiming for the stars, we sometimes get it, but not all the time. Well, that is not what divine living is. And we can change that. And we can think so many times that divine living is having everything that we want. I don't know how many of you have looked at the housewives of whatever city and gone, "Oh my God. Look at the palace that they live in. Look at the things that they live in." And just like them, we probably wouldn't be happy either. Isn't it interesting that for people who have everything and could have everything, they are not happy, and they're constantly bickering? It's because even though things are nice to have, I have great things, I like my things, but they don't make me happy. And they won't make you happy, because we find that once we've achieved that goal of getting that thing, it's nice for a second, isn't it? We get that great new car that we've always dreamed of when we ride it for a couple hundred miles. And then at 90 miles an hour, the Corvette that I'm thinking about on straight land. And then after a while, that new toy, that thing, it's not anything anymore. We get bored with it because it's just a thing that can come and go. And it brings happiness for a moment, but divine life brings perpetual happiness. We hunger for that divine life. I know we seem to hunger for things. We try to fill the void with things. But what we need to do to fulfill that divine life is to fill it with love and joy. Ah, Crystal, that love and joy again. That love and joy, yes. Because the substance of God is all around us. We teach and preach and say all the time that God is everywhere present, which means God is where?
Everywhere.
Inside you, inside me, inside these walls. When I say everywhere, I mean everywhere. But it's hard to kind of really grasp God and grasp that we are God. Yes? Actually, it's kind of fearful. The last person that we read that said that got staked up onto a cross, and we don't want any of that. Yes? But see, we don't have to go through that. We don't have to go through those stories. All we need to do is believe that God is everywhere present and that God is good, and our happiness is right where we are. How many of you guys know the cartoon character Ziggy? There's a popular Ziggy strip that says that Ziggy was going and approaching a corner. And coming right towards her around the corner was a man holding a sign that says, "Happiness is around the corner." And as she passed it, Ziggy said, "Gee, how did I miss happiness? Where'd it go? I don't see it." We always seem to be missing happiness. We always seem to be looking outside somewhere else, waiting for it to come around the corner. The reality is that your divine, joy-filled life is right here, right now, waiting for you to say yes. That it isn't a thing around the corner. It isn't anything that you've missed, except if you choose to miss it. You know, so many times that we look at things here on earth, bumper stickers, car stickers, things that say, "Beam me up, Scotty, there's no intelligence life here," or, you know, whatever we're talking about for the political party, the yeses and the noes. And we always have these things and these thoughts that humanity is not it. That we as humans are not divine. We keep hearing that and hearing that over and over in our society, in our religions. That's what makes unity wonderful, because here we teach that if God is everywhere present within you, then you are good. You're not that lowly person, that scum of the earth. You're not that human that has to plead for God's forgiveness. How many of you came up in traditional prayer where you say, "You know, I'm not worthy, God, of prayer, but please." No, you are worthy. You are divine, because if God lives everywhere present, and if God lives in within you, then you are divine. Just say, "I am divine."
I am divine.
If you want to get a little sassy with it, like the actress, actor, actress divine, get a little sassy with it. "I am divine." Because you are. You are. And too many times we think that in our spirituality, to become divine, we have to, first of all, become divine. And then we have to go into some form of a religion where we have to kill our ego or be something that we're not, because humans suck. I mean, we think that of ourselves. We think that. And the reality is that we make mistakes. But the nature, the true nature of us, is that we are divine. We are made up of divinity from head to foot. But we make these mistakes define us, don't we? We think that because we make mistakes, that makes us bad people. And how can something or someone that is divine, i.e. made up of God's stuff, who doesn't make mistakes, and we do, how can we be of that? Beloved, don't let our humanness and the fact that at times we make mistakes define you. Allow yourself to believe that if you're in the moment, right here, right now, divinity is here with you, no matter what is going on. There's a story in from Oregon. It's kind of a funny story. It's a little disgusting, but kind of funny. And the title of this is "The Far Side Comes to Life in Oregon." And now, supposedly, this is absolutely true. There's videotape of this, DVDs out there, and it was written in the Oregon paper. And so it was a video of this poor whale who got washed up on a beach and died. He was about 8 tons. He, she, don't know. It was 8 tons. Can you imagine 8 tons on your beach? Now, fresh and alive in the water, but deceased and on a beach, my God, it's a problem, poor thing. And so the city in the, of where this poor whale landed decided to hire and get the highway traffic department involved. The highway. Maybe it's because they deal with roads. Maybe it's because they deal with bridges. They deal with big stuff. And so they thought that they would have the machinery and the things to deal with this 8-ton mammoth whale on the beach. And so a brilliant man came up with the idea, why don't we make this a win-win? We will blow up this whale, and it will scatter into tiny pieces, which will then feed all the seagulls and other birds and stuff that need this. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm looking at your face too. That's what they said. So of course, everyone's like, "Yeah, brilliant idea. The whale is gone, and we'll be feeding our natural habitat. Win-win. So, of course, they go and do it. They get a bunch of dynamite, and they put it next to the whale. And they get all the spectators out of the beach, and they move them far, far away. And it's ready. And they ignite the dynamite or whatever form of explosives units that they used. And in a flash, the whale disappeared into smoke and fire and sand. And the people, again, can you imagine this? The people are like, yeah, you did it. Yeah. And then in the camera, you could hear plop, splat, plop. Then all of a sudden, a woman goes, oh, my God. And then all of a sudden, the camera fades out because of something that has hit it. Whale is everywhere. It is reported a quarter of a mile away that there are condo-sized chunks of this whale. When Kathleen, you guys know Kathleen and with the hat, uh-oh, woman. Yep, that's what she said. Uh-oh. I said, yes. Uh-oh, Kathleen. You are right. Talk about making a stupendous mistake, a miscalculation, an error that, by the way, they use at parties. The DVD gets shown every year as they get a chuckle. Not only a chuckle, but also a reminder that, yes, we too make mistakes. We all make mistakes. I think if we looked back at some of our most horrendous mistakes, we could probably laugh at them now. Oh, my God, that was silly. What was I thinking? You know, I know we say to err is human. What's the other part? To be divine, Shakespeare, is to forgive. To be divine is also to make mistakes. For as humans, that is one of the fastest ways that we grow. We learn, and we go, I'll never do that again. We change our ways. We move forward. For truly, we are divine. Do not allow yourself and the mistakes to hold you captive. Do not allow your mistakes to define you. Do not allow you to make your mistakes your prisoners. I'd like to read to you a Hafiz poem, translated. It says, we have not come to take prisoners. We have not come here to take prisoners, but to surrender ever more deeply to freedom and joy. We have not come into this exquisite world to hold ourselves hostage from love. Run, my dear, from anything that may not strengthen your precious budding wings. Run like hell, my dear, from anyone likely to put a sharp knife into that sacred, tender vision of your beautiful heart. We have a duty to befriend the aspects of obedience that stand outside of our house and shout to our reason, oh, please, come out and play. For we have not come here to take prisoners or to confine our wondrous spirits, but to experience ever and ever more deeply our divine courage, freedom, and light. In fact, I believe that is why we are here. To be beautiful, to show beauty, to create a world that is filled with beauty. But part of the problem is that we are overcritical of ourselves, aren't we? I think that's one of the spiritual aspects, is to get over that overcriticalness. We're trained to be overcritical. Maybe it's from our parents. Maybe it's from our religion. I don't know. But as human societies, that thing about perfection, that illusion called perfection, gets us every time. Can I tell you something? You can think one of two things. Either that nothing is perfect or everything is perfect. I choose to think that everything is perfect. But yeah. You can come to me with your butts later on. But right now, for you to have a divine life, to live a divine life, you need to see that you are gloriously made, that your life is glorious, and that every minute and every moment can be glorious. For it is God who defines you. It is God who has made you. And I say that anytime you think that your life sucks, anytime you think that humanity sucks, and that this world sucks, you are blaspheming. Old time world, you're blasphemous. Why? Because we've said it. If God is everywhere present, then you are speaking ill will of the divine. If you are speaking ill will of your life, you are speaking ill will of God. If you are speaking ill will of yourself, beloveds, you are truly speaking ill of God. If you speak ill of anyone else, no matter how much they've angered you, no matter how much you think they deserve your tongue lashing or anything else, you are arguing and blaspheming with God in front of you. And so it is time to grab a hold and make a choice. Okay, this is like Jeopardy. Let me see if I can get this right. So choice is the answer. The question is, what is the Christian word for choice? I guess that's it. Willpower, that's good, but no. I'm sorry. Free love. No, free will. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that. Yes, free will. All free will is choice. You have a choice in life. You have a choice to see all of God's creation as something ill, or you have a choice to see it as stupendous, as something wonderful. In Genesis chapter 1:26, it states that God created human, both he and she, and it says, in our image. Our holy scriptures said that as humanity, whether you believe in the Big Bang or not, I'm using the Bible right now to specify and to say what I want to say, that's what ministers do, is that we are created in the image and likeness of God. When are we going to let the naysayers go by? If they don't want to be created in the image or see themselves as the image of God, then let them go. But let us express divinity in our life. Let our lives be divine. And the only way that we can do that is completely allow God's happiness and joy to be us, to move in and through us. There's a Japanese religion called Tenrikyo. In their sacred scriptures, it says, I created you human beings because I desire to see you lead a joyous life. I created you human beings because I desire to see you lead a joyous life. It is time. It's time to be aware of the beauty and the preciousness all around us. It is time in any situation to see greatness. I read this, I pulled this off, this story, somewhere where it says, I saw this crudely painted above a storefront church once. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now the person says, at the time I was so arrogant as to not to believe the possibility that it was so. You see, the storefront was in the midst of the slums. It was hardly an attractive place. They call it that gate of heaven? Don't we say the same thing about our own lives? If you had a tattoo on you, I am the gate to heaven, or this, I am the beloved. I think most of us would be scared that someone would judge us for believing that. I think most of us right here and right now have a hard time of believing it, even though that is what we preach and teach all the time. And you have a choice. We have free will. God created everything beautiful, meaning that God created our lives to be happy. It is our choice whether it's going to be happy or not. no matter in whatever situation. Like Walt Whitman said, to me, every hour of the day and night is an unspeakably perfect miracle. God has found where you're at right now. You don't have to look around the corner. You don't need anything to live a divine life, to have your life be filled with great miracles each and every moment of every day. It's a matter of you saying, yes, I choose that right here, right now. And you might say, Crystal, I've tried that. I've heard this before. I've tried to say yes, and you know what? It was no. How long does it take one to get out from the desert? Once you've walked into the desert, how long does it take you to get back? Dear hearts, just keep doing it. Keep filling your life with yes. Keep purifying your mind, your consciousness, your body with yes. I will be used by you. I choose to see my life, my body, this world as a place filled with joy and happiness. You keep doing that. You keep cleansing yourself with that thought. No matter what comes to you, continue to cleanse your life with love and happiness. By golly, it is happening. It will happen. Right now we see it in little bits. And the more spiritual we get, what happens? We see it in longer amounts of time. That's what the work is making sure that the more we practice it, the more we can experience and feel the joy. And the times that we don't, we then choose to put love into it, to see it as something different. And not to think, oh my God, I made a mistake. Oh my God, there's something wrong. I can't sustain this. God, you don't live in me. God, you don't love me. No. It is time just to continue to say, I'm standing fast. My foundation is here in the truth, in the knowing that if God is light, God is love, God is happiness, and God has created me and my life to be in happiness, then by golly, I choose to walk that path. I choose to believe it. I choose to act on it. Beloveds, that's all you need to do. I will leave you with a saying from a Holy Scripture from the Unification Church. There is no limit to joy. Happiness has no end. When you are standing in the love of God, every cell of your body jumps for joy. You breathe in and out with the entire universe. In this state, your life is fulfilled. This is how God means us to live, intoxicated in love and joy. And through our joy, God receives its joy. The joy of man is the joy of God, and the joy of God is the joy of man. Allow the joy and the love to come through. Thank you. And as you go through your day, I invite you to use this affirmation or any other affirmation that comes to you. Let's say this together. I give thanks to God for all the blessings in my life. God's love for me is demonstrated in divine ways. Let's say that one more time. I give thanks to God for all the blessings in my life. God's love for me is demonstrated in divine ways. And so it is. Amen.